You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Sweet 16, anything but chalk this year, as the sum of the seeds of the teams in the Sweet 16 is 94. That's the highest in any NCAA tournament seeding since it was introduced back in 1979. First Sweet 16 featuring four teams seeded 11th or worse. I always have a problem. Is it 11th or is it a higher seed? Is it a lower seed? Like, if you're a lower seed, are you a 3? If you're a higher seed, are you 11?
Or I would have think you'd aspire to be a higher seed in life. Higher would be better. Lower would be a bad thing.
But the lower the number, the higher the seed.
So Michigan's a low seed, a lower seed, because they're number one.
They have a low number, but they're a higher seed.
But that sounds like a negative. Like, if your test results are negative, that's a fantastic thing, right?
Well, you have four seeded teams, 11th or worse. UCLA 11, Syracuse 11, Oregon State 12, and Oral Roberts a 15. Do you guys have problems with that? A higher seed, a lower seed? Yes, Tom.
I always found that confusing. There's got to be a better way to refer to it. When I see a number of 1 or 3, and that's called a higher seed, I think a higher number on like the number line, that a higher seed would be like a 12 because it's a higher number on the spectrum of numbers. So it's, I don't know if I cleared that up much.
That doesn't clear up anything.
Anything, no.
No, it doesn't.
They should come up with something. Higher seed being 1 and lower seed being 12 when it's an actual higher number itself is bad.
Wow.
You know, but you call it better seeds and worse seeds.
That's on me. I should never have gone to you. I should have gone to the smart guy.
You know,
in the
I complicate this.
Who
further.
Didn't cheat off his neighbor's paper.
Wow.
So
I got cheated off on my neighbor's paper.
Of course
lot.
You did.
Yeah, I find this as confusing as you guys, right. Although I don't want to dive into it because I'll sound dumb like Todd. If you talk about it, you don't make any sense.
Give me your best guess here.
Well, if you're the higher seed, you're the underdog.
Yes, but it sounds weird to be a higher seed.
You never want to get lower on a mountain as a mountain climber. You don't go, let's get low. You want to go higher. You aspire for heights.
No, wait, the higher seed is the lower number.
Yes.
Right. So if you're a low
seed,
if you're a low seed, you have a higher number.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's the exact opposite, isn't it?
No.
Oh. I really, until this moment, I believe that.
The favorites are the high seeds.
Thank you.
To have the low numbers.
And then there was one. Michigan, they have a high seed but a low number. They held on to beat LSU last night. The Big Ten is still alive in the NCAA tournament. The conference came in with high hopes. You had 9 teams. You had 2 number one seeds. You had Illinois, Michigan. 2 number two seeds, Iowa and Ohio State. They're gone, except for the Wolverines. Disappointing run. The tournament is in Indianapolis, so it's not exactly a home game because Indiana's not in it, but this is Big Ten country, and these teams have no excuses. A Big Ten team hasn't won at all since 2000. Tom Izzo and Mateen Cleaves at Michigan State. That's the last time the Big Ten won the national championship. That doesn't mean they haven't been close, because the conference has had a team in the final game 7 times, but they've come up short every time. We'll see if the Wolverines can snap that drought. But so far, this tournament has had a lot of Big Ten fans wondering, how long is it until the football season starts? Yes, McLovin.
I have a poll question.
Okay.
It's super mean.
Whoa.
Okay. If you're Michigan, you're still in it, would you rather win the college basketball title this year or beat Ohio State in football next year?
A regular season Ohio State game or the NCAA title? I would hope they would pick a national championship, but knowing this rivalry and what has happened recently, well, not so recently, it's a habit, a pattern here that they lose to Ohio State. If you're asking the question in March, if you're asking it in November, then that might be different here. I'm going to guess, although I can't speak for those in Michigan, they would want to see them beat Ohio State in football.
I think that's the right answer.
I'm guessing, because I'm going to take this as an Ohio native. If you said Ohio State had lost the last 15 years to Michigan in football, but you had a chance to win the national championship in basketball, knowing how Ohioans would feel, they would want to beat Michigan in football. Yes, Seton.
And I'm sorry, just because I don't remember, which has happened more recently? Michigan won the national title in basketball or have beaten Ohio State in football?
Wow.
I just can't remember back that far.
Wow, it's a shot. Shots fired early here.
I've been waiting since 1989 to take that shot.
Like, factually correct. We're 7 minutes in. Shots fired. Yes, Paulie.
I think Alabama fans would rather watch the spring football game than their team in the national title game.
It is weird. There are certain programs where you go, Oregon football program. You look at Florida State, used to be a football program. But they've been pretty good in basketball. Alabama, Arkansas, you normally associate these schools at least playing football. Arkansas hasn't played football well, but we think of Arkansas, you go back to Nolan Richardson, 40 minutes of hell, but you got some football programs who are here in the Sweet 16. Yes, McClellan.
What is University of Houston? Because they have a football history, but they had Phi Slamma Jamma. I feel like they're a football school, too.
I don't know if they're either.
They had David Klingler.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Andre Ware.
Case Keenum.
Yeah. I mean, it's a...
Greg Ward Jr.
It's a football state, but...
I remember Joe Montana beat them in the Cotton Bowl, right? They were really good when I was really young, as I recall.
Yeah. I don't know how good they were back then. They were in the Cotton Bowl against Notre Dame. But
do you view schools that don't have a football team a little differently? I see Gonzaga and Creighton as like, oh, those are, I can't take, you're always going to be a mid-major if you don't have a football team.
Okay.
You're always going to be.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry to bring that mid-major, but you're never going to be like a blue blood if you don't have, or maybe I'm wrong.
I like how you came with a strong opinion.
Well, Duke doesn't really have a football team in there. And
Kentucky. There's certain programs that you don't think of their football teams. Yes, Paul.
And then there's anomaly schools in the South, or kind of South, like Duke, which is a basketball school, Kentucky, which is a basketball school. Lately, they've had some pretty decent football at Duke and Kentucky. But it feels like, you know, if Kentucky football goes 6-5, that's a nice year, but they're doing better. Duke football is respectable now, and it's not just an anomaly.
We'll come up with a poll question. Say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock. All 3 hours you can watch. Download the app. You can watch for free. And also our great radio affiliates around the country. McLevin, you got a poll question for me?
Yeah, the other one I was going to throw out. What's the storyline that has you most paying attention to the tournament?
Okay, let me see. Let me see if I can guess what your poll question options are. The surprise of the Pac-12.
Yep.
The disappointment of the Big Ten.
Well, are you going to follow that from here on out?
Oh, okay.
I didn't put it in, but that is a big storyline.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, today, what is the storyline?
Okay, that's a better question. Yep. Okay, Big Ten.
Gonzaga is still undefeated.
Yes, Gonzaga is getting a lot of attention.
What would be another great storyline? Which Cinderella are you rooting for? Like, you got a lot of Cinderellas, don't you?
Well, there's, you know, they're like lower seeds, but it's like a Syracuse.
Wait, are they higher seeds?
I don't. Oh, no. I started again. Yes, sir. Like it's.
Like Oral Roberts.
They're big, but then the.
Cinderella.
Yeah.
Okay. But you look at Oregon State, like Syracuse isn't a Cinderella story. Right.
Like UCLA is an 11 seed, but they're the ultimate non-Cinderella.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
And Loyola can no longer be a Cinderella because they were in it a couple of years ago. They're kind of in this no man's land of being lovable and cute, but they've been there.
Sort of like Gonzaga used to be.
Right.
one more storyline as far as stars, and I'm late to the party, but that Mobley kid on USC.
I tried to tell you during the regular season.
You know, you kept talking about it, but when do I watch USC basketball?
And his dad is an assistant coach on the team.
That's convenient. What a coincidence.
This has happened before. It's totally legal. That you hire your Allen Houston's dad got hired at Tennessee to be an assistant coach.
And one day later, his son commits to Tennessee?
Yeah. And then Allen goes to the NBA, and then his dad doesn't have his job anymore. This has happened a few times where somebody gets hired, and with them, they bring people with them. Yes, McLovin.
I mean, if you're a USC fan, like, is this tournament not as important because you have three more years of Evan Mobley there? Just kidding. I mean, that guy had, I was watching last night, I'm like, oh, that guy's in the NBA as soon as possible.
Yes. And then Missouri had Michael Porter Sr. He was the father of Michael Porter Jr. And then they also had another brother who went to Missouri as well. Larry Brown, when he was at Kansas, hired Ed Manning. And then Danny Manning went to Kansas.
Wouldn't it be great if some coach hired the dad and then at the last minute the son goes, nah, I'm going to go to Duke. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Well, it sort of happened at LaSalle with Kobe's dad.
Yeah.
Joe got hired as an assistant. And then Kobe, of course, went to the pros. I don't think Kobe was going to LaSalle. I think he was going to Duke. I don't think he was going to go to LaSalle just because his dad was there, but his dad got hired at LaSalle.
I think he was doing a favor to the program to recruit. Kobe said LaSalle was the second choice. Mm. You're not buying that, right? That was just a nice thing to say.
Well, it's like a distant second. Yeah. It was the NBA, and then maybe it was Duke, and then LaSalle.
But the one that always got me, Michael Beasley at Kansas State, how he ended up out there.
Kansas State got a couple of kids, and you go, huh? How did that happen? But it did. So Iowa's out, Kansas out, Oregon, Gonzaga, UCLA, USC, Creighton, Michigan, Florida State, Bama advance. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
We'll settle on our poll question. I think we already did, McLovin, because I'll ask Dockage that. He's there in Big Ten country in Indiana.
Michigan question?
Yeah.
If you're a Michigan fan, would you rather win the NCAA basketball title this year or beat Ohio State in football next year?
I said it from an Ohio perspective, an Ohioan, that I would rather beat Michigan in football. If I had lost, okay, understand this. Michigan has beat Ohio State twice in the last 18 years.
Stat of the day.
Bop, bop.
Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
Top. And do we know the average margin of victory for Ohio State in those games?
I'm going to need a minute
okay.
on that.
All right, let me bring in Dockage, ESPN college basketball analyst, host of the Dan Dockage Show on The Fan in Indianapolis. Let me start there. You think Michigan would rather win the national championship in basketball or beat Ohio State this November in football?
Dan, I have a son that went to Michigan. I paid a lot of money to Michigan. A national championship is a banner that's hanging. There's no doubt winning a national championship in football. I mean, Dan, I realize Michigan can't remember the last time they beat Ohio State in football, but come on, there's banners for winning a national championship. That's forever. Nobody, 5 years from now, nobody remembers the score of the Ohio State-Michigan game. Come on.
It feels like it's a story for a week when you win a national championship, but the bragging rights of beating Ohio State in football, you're a basketball guy. You're in Indiana. What do you know about football?
Hey, I know from football, pal. I know from football. Tom Allen in Indiana, we're rolling in football.
You're right.
We're better than Michigan in football.
You are. All right, what's the big storyline you take away so far from March Madness?
Dan, I take away a couple things. I take away the Big Ten. Big Ten losing 8 of 9 and doing it badly. You know, I've always said the Big Ten, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but coaches will tell you, man, the Big Ten's best coached league. Big Ten's best scouted league. Yeah, I tell you, there's some bad coaching in this tournament in the Big Ten. And I hate to say it because most of these guys are my friends. Dan, I'm watching Purdue go down, can't make a shot, and they got their two best shooters on the sideline. I'm watching Edie, who played great, not even get off the bench. I'm watching Michigan State go down, and they got their two best shooters on the sideline, and Hauser and Gabe Brown. I'm watching Illinois. I'm at the Illinois game the other day, Big D, and they don't adjust. My brother, who is a attorney, he's like, why aren't they pressing? Why aren't they doing something? I said, watch. They will in the last 3 to 5 minutes. They did. It didn't matter. I think the Big Ten, Iowa didn't guard all year. Iowa looked incredibly slow. I thought the Big Ten looked incredibly slow. I take that away, and I take that. You know what, Dan, the other thing, defense wins a little bit. Like, you know, I'm watching, and I know they were way overmatched. Abilene Christian was way overmatched against Texas, Dan. Would you agree with this? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You watch basketball. You learn at the feet of me when I do games. I get that, Dan.
Yeah.
You ever seen a more overmatched team physically than Abilene Christian and Texas, and that team wins the game? Not loses, wins the game. You ever seen a more overmatched physically team?
I probably have, but just the recent memory of seeing that was pretty stunning.
It was. So I do. I think, you know, you're here in the Big Ten. You got 9 teams in. You got 1 left, and they all failed miserably. Like, didn't lose to Gonzaga in the tournament. The Big Ten is, I think, the biggest story around here.
And then if you look, like, Loyola's not a Cinderella story.
No.
Syracuse isn't a Cinderella story.
No.
Oral Roberts is a Cinderella story. Is Oregon State a Cinderella story? Is UCLA a Cinderella story?
Dan, we're old enough. I don't care what happens with UCLA. That's not a story. Come on.
I mean, I know. It does sound strange to say that with UCLA. But, I mean, recent history, though. I mean, Cronin's done a really nice job in there. Is USC a Cinderella story?
No, I think USC is a redemption story. I think, you know, when you looked at USC, all you've seen is, you know, involvement. If you really paid attention in that trial, their name came up a lot. Tony Bland's name came up a lot. I think it's a redemption story. I think Oregon State's a great story. I think, you know, Wayne Tinkle has got, you know, he had his son, was a good, really good player. You know, he's gone, all of a sudden they catch fire. And that's obviously, Dan, as you and I both know, that's one of the great things about the tournament is you can catch fire. And I think it's a great story. I think UCLA is a story of what should be. Like, UCLA should be there. And I think Mick Cronin, I was talking to Michael Lewis, their assistant, and that's all they talk about. Like, look at these banners. This is what we should be. This is who we should be, Dan. Yeah. So I think they're all great stories in different ways.
I mentioned the Mobley story at USC. This has happened before many times down through the years where you hire somebody, if the dad, and then you're able to bring in players. And it's totally above board, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, you go back. I mean, whether it's a high school, hell, Bob Knight back in 76, I mean, you'll remember the names, John Laskowski and Tom Abernathy. He hired their high school coach, Bob Donovan. Now, I don't know if he hired him to get those two guys, but this has been going. Ted Owens did it at Kansas for years. Danny Manning. No, this has been going on for years. You know, I never presume because, Dan, I was in this for 20-some years in coaching, and everybody tells me that everybody cheats, right? Everything that happens, well, they cheat. I don't know that anybody – I've never had anybody come up to me and say, hey, coach, they just gave me $30,000. I've never had that. So, look, you hire a guy's dad, you got the players you want, and away you go. It doesn't have to be nefarious.
Yeah, and I just said that, like, Ed Manning got hired, Danny Manning went there.
Right.
We saw that with Michael Porter Sr., Michael Porter Jr. going to Missouri. Like, this has happened down through the years. I think people are just being reintroduced to it when, you know, the Mobleys go there to USC and their dad's on the staff.
Yeah, and you know, we forget the past so quickly, right? And the other thing is, here's the one thing, man. Dan, when you were in college and I was in college, you had 3 assistant coaches. Maybe a 4th guy was a volunteer. Now you look at those benches. Dan, there's 800 dudes in suits and press suits, man. I mean, so, you know, what job you hiring them for? I don't know. And I'm not just talking about this situation. I'm talking about other situations. You know, what job you – there's so many jobs on a bench now. Look, they hired them. They're smart. They're in the Sweet 16. Let me tell you something. At Indiana right now, We'd love to have the dad of somebody on the sideline and be in the Sweet 16. You kidding me?
So who's getting the Indiana job?
I don't know. Look,
who will get it and who should get it? Are those two different questions?
Alford should get the job. My opinion. You're asking me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not asking a regular fan. I've watched Indiana, Dan, for 21 years since Bob Knight, and the program is in no better shape. Look, I know everybody. Well, Bob Knight hit a player. Yeah. Well, Calvin Sampson got us on probation. Yeah, well, there was 8 million drug tests or failed drug tests. Yeah, well, they haven't won close. The graduation rate isn't any higher. Donors aren't any. The basketball's awful. And every time I look in Assembly Hall and I go into Assembly Hall and I see statues, you know where they're from? The Bob Knight era. I've had enough personally. I've had enough personally of the hot guy. Dan, swear to God, I called Fred Glass, the AD, when they hired Archie Miller, and I said, you just made the worst hire you could possibly make. I said, well, you are making us like everybody else. And frankly, Indiana is like everybody else. Nobody, not a lot of great teams.
How do you mean that, though?
How do I mean what?
That you're like everybody else.
Well, here's what I'm saying. There's not a lot of great teams, and there's not a lot of awful teams. There's a ton of teams right in the middle. We have no – hey, Dan, for 21 years, I thought Tom did a really good job, Karina, of bringing us out. But we have no identity. What's Indiana basketball about? Is it shooting? No. Is it defense? No. Is it tough play? No. It's just another team. And for a guy like me, Dan, that spent 17 years there, like I got to get a hip replacement because of a hit I took. I got to get a knee replacement. I got a bad neck. I want to see an Indiana guy in there. I want somebody that can bring back Indiana basketball's pride. I want to see somebody that can galvanize the fan base. And frankly, the only guy that I see that can do that is Alford. I get that the hot guy just won a game and goes to the Sweet 16. You know what? So did Archie Miller. But as you know, everybody wins a date. Everybody wins a date. So I'm tired of the hot guy here. I'll support him. Hey, look, I got a radio show. I'll do everything for the guy. But I'm tired of the hot guy. I'm tired of the Calvin Sampson comes in for crying out loud, was on probation when Indiana hired him. On probation, and Indiana hires him in Indiana. Then you get a guy, well, he went to the Final Four with Dwayne Wade. Great. And Tom did a really good job. Then you get a guy, well, he went to the Elite Eight. Who cares? You either can know Indiana, understand it's a different job, or you can't. And to this point in my life, in my way of thinking, it's been 21 years of the hot guy, the outside guy. How's that worked out for us, Indiana? Not very good.
He's Dan Dockage, ESPN college basketball analyst, and has his own show, The Fan, in Indianapolis. We had Rick Pitino on last week, and I asked him if this was his final stop, and he said yes. And my Danette said, no, it's not his final stop. I'm the one guy who said this is Pitino's final stop. All right, Dockage, what side are you on? Does Pitino does he have another job?
I had Pitino on my show, and Coach said, this is my final stop. And Dan, when people tell me things, I listen real close. I'm in between, but I always say gun to head, I say this is his final stop. I'm not sure, though. When he said it, I believed it. But Dan, let's think about this. Rick Pitino ending his career at Iona. I like Iona. Iona's great. The Gales, Jeff Rulin, yay, rock, go fight, win. But he's going to end his career at Iona. I'm taking the coach at his word, but I ain't betting on it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I hope he's found happiness after what he went through, and now he understands you got a job back, you got some respect back, you go to the tournament. But egos with you coaches, man.
Hey, Dan, can I ask you a question about Rick Pitino?
All right.
Do you think Rick Pitino's, like, resume is now as good, if not better, than any other than maybe, you know, Wooden and Krzyzewski? And here's why. He leaves in disgrace. He goes out to Greece and wins two championships. Like, that's hard to do, man. That's, like, people don't understand the level of play. Then he comes back to this school. And guess what? He takes him to the tournament. I would argue that these last 2 years have done nothing but enhance this man's resume to the point of jumping a lot of people, Dan. What do you think?
I think he's one of the top five coaches, and I'm talking about NBA and college. Today, I think Patino is that good. Now, he's not for everybody, a lot of stops, but the man can coach a basketball game.
If you were an Indiana fan right now, would you want Rick Pitino?
I was going to ask you that question.
Here's what I've said. Give me Brad Stevens. You know, I made this nice soliloquy about
he's not
Indiana
coming.
Game.
He's not coming.
Okay, I know he's not. All right, give me Brad. Give me Tony Bennett. He's turned the job down before. Or I'd do a talk show in Indy. Having Rick Pitino in Bloomington wouldn't be a bad
It's all about content. It's all
a little bit.
All about content. You sent me your final four. I don't think your final four did too well, did it?
No, my final four stinks. I really thought going into the tournament, Illinois was playing as well as anybody, including Gonzaga. And, Dan, I was at the Illinois game, and I'm telling you, Illinois didn't have a chance in that game. Like, they were not good enough.
They didn't move the ball, Dan. The difference between Loyola's movement and Illinois' was astounding.
Dan, here's the other thing. Okay, you know that Krautwig kid, right? You're down whatever. They're comfortable as hell. They just throw it to this guy. He stands at the top of the key, surveys, looks around, says, oh, what the hell am I going to do? All right, I'll throw it to you. You'll get a layup. And the other thing, and this is where Loyola's dangerous. They guard you. Like, they got Williamson, maybe if you know, it seems like every year a Duke player wins Defensive Player of the Year. I think it's Defensive Player of the Year sponsored by Duke. But the best defensive player is this Williamson kid, Dan. He locks it up.
Did they name the Defensive Player of the Year award after Woj? Steve Wojnarowski? I think they did. Like, all you got to do is slap the floor. I think Illinois slapped the floor three times against Loyola, and Loyola scored all three times when they slapped the floor. How silly is that?
Look, it's one thing to slap the floor because that's what you are. It's another thing to say, hell, I think I'll slap the floor and act like I'm playing defense. Hey, another thing.
Yeah.
Dan, when I look at Oral Roberts, Tom Moore, you know the name Tom Moore? Awesome. Assistant coach in the NFL, like, should be in the Hall of Fame, everybody says.
Yeah.
Tom Moore always says players, not plays. Like, late in the game, players, not plays. These two guys, I always say the guy's name wrong, Absmus and O'Banner, these two dudes got 59 against Ohio State. Now, Ohio State, pretty good on the perimeter defensively. They got 59. They backed it up with 55. Dan, you and I both know the name Harold Archambault. And of various guys across the country over the years that just go nuts, they got two guys that are balling. So, yes, Oral Roberts is a damn they are a Cinderella. But when you got two guys that are going like that against Florida, against Ohio State, you got to take them serious. You got to take them very serious.
It's always great to talk to you.
You're the best. Thanks for the text.
Yeah, well, you're kind of lonely.
Can I do a plug? Shameless.
Oh, God. Okay.
Saturday mornings, I do a show on Sirius XM Radio 84. It's combination basketball and Stern. It's unbelievable.
Wait, did you just call yourself unbelievable?
I said the show's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's unbelievable Sirius gave you a job. That's the unbelievable. And I saw your dog. You're just a lonely man. You, your brackets, and a dog.
I'm in a basement, Dan. I'm in a basement with my IU memorabilia. Oh. I just sit here and dream of the day I kicked Michael Jordan's ass. You know what I mean, Dan? That's what I do all day.
Did you name your dog Knight? Alford?
No.
Damon Bailey?
I named it Calbert.
Calbert Cheney. good to talk to you, bud.
You too. Thanks for having me.
That's Dan Dockage. He works at the Mothership and, of course, the Dan Dockage Show on The Fan in Indianapolis. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. ESPN senior NBA insider, host of the Woj podcast. You can catch Woj on ESPN and ABC's NBA Countdown. And Woj joining us on the program. Woj, give me the deal that you think has to happen.
Aaron Gordon, I think, in Orlando, Dan, I think he's ready to move on. I think the team is ready to get what they can get back for him. So I think there's a I would be shocked, really, at this point if he's not moved by Thursday's deadline. And, you know, there's a number of teams interested in him. And, you know, listen, they'll probably take it down to wire on Thursday and see what's the best offer that they can find out there for him.
Is there a deal that could be made that might change a bigger picture here with these teams come playoff time?
You know, there's not a star out in this marketplace, this trade deadline, but I think there's players who can impact contenders. I think the two teams, Toronto with Kyle Lowry and Orlando, you know, again, we talked about Aaron Gordon, but I think Toronto really is the team that may dictate this deadline because Kyle Lowry and Norman Powell, you know, are two good players that they have. And certainly I think if Kyle Lowry ends up in a Philly or a Miami, you know, that's certainly, I don't know if all of a sudden Brooklyn thinks, hey, you know, we're still not the best team in the East. But that can be impactful, and it's going to be guys like Lonzo Ball in New Orleans and, you know, Victor Oladipo in Houston. Those are all players available and you know, who all may very well move before Thursday.
What do the Lakers do with AD down and LeBron out, if anything?
Well, they've wanted to get certainly more size. They may not be able to do it in the trade market. The buyout market might be the place where obviously the Lakers could improve without having to give anything up because, you know, they may, if you're going to make a trade, you know, you want to be able to improve and you can't always do that when you're giving something up. So Andre Drummond in Cleveland, if he ends up getting a buyout, if he's not moved at the trade deadline, which I think it's unlikely because of his contract, and he gets into the buyout market, he's certainly somebody who they are focused on and want to bring in there. He'd become their starting center. And so that's going to be impactful. You're going to see a lot of guys, and guys who don't get traded in that buyout market. And you saw the Clippers create another spot to be able to add a player in the buyout market. They have two roster spots. Brooklyn's going to continue to be active there. And, you know, so I think for the Lakers, though, listen, they just need to get AD and LeBron healthy. And you know that they're not going to fear in the first round having to go on the road in a series. They know they can beat anybody if they're healthy. And so I think playoff position for them is less important. They just have to get their two best players back healthy. And I mean, just imagine if you're the Jazz or you're the Suns and, you know, you have just this tremendous season, you're a 2 seed or a 3 seed or the 1 seed. And all of a sudden you show up in the playoffs in game one and there's a healthy LeBron and AD, you know, dribbling into the building. It's not ideal.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Could this be a good thing for the Lakers from the standpoint of now LeBron is forced to rest, whereas it felt like he was hell-bent on resting because he wanted to show the rest of the league he doesn't do load management and he wants to win another MVP?
Well, you know, the high ankle sprain, listen, that's a tough injury and it can linger. And so I don't know if it's a good thing. I think, though, for the Lakers, you know, their timelines can't change. Their timelines certainly can't change with AD because LeBron's out. They can't and they won't rush him back. But they can lose a lot of ground in the West, and you don't want to fall. It's going to be a climb in the postseason, however they look at it. I mean, they're going to be a team that's probably going to have to go on the road in the first round. And we'll see how, listen, in this, there'll be fans in buildings. It may not be what typically it's like to go on the road in the postseason. It may not be buildings that are full, but there'll be some capacity. And I think that softens the blow of having to go on the road in the postseason. But yeah, I think for LeBron, he's just always shown an incredible capacity to heal, to play through injury, and to just be able to come back quicker than others can. But with this one, this is going to be a few weeks.
Kyrie leaves for three games. Do we know what's going on? I know he said it's personal, but is this something that will continue this season?
No, the Nets, this was an absence that they're fully on board with and is just sort of the normal sort of family thing. They said family matters. There's no backstory on this of, hey, we're not, they knew what it was, and it's not an issue.
Can LaMelo Ball win the Rookie of the Year if he's done for the rest of the season?
It's a good question. You know, has he played enough games? I think Anthony Edwards he's been so good in Minnesota, and I don't know how all the things people take into consideration when they vote. I think certainly LaMelo improved that team. That team played, you know, they were in the playoff chase largely, or, you know, him and Gordon Hayward were in that top eight in the East. But Edwards has played so well over the last few weeks. I think that he's, you know, listen, he could finish strong and steal it. But LaMelo, I think the kind of rookie year he had and the kind of just revelation he was in the league and for that franchise, I think it'll probably still be close. I don't think it's out of the question he can win it, but I think Edwards has come on strong enough that he's going to probably have a case to be made just because of how much more he'll have played by the time people are voting.
What would you tell anybody who thinks there's a chance or thought there was a chance Brad Stevens would leave the Celtics for the Indiana Hoosiers, Joe?
Yeah, it's just, you know, you talk to coaches who've coached in both levels, and there's nobody who would rather be in college basketball than the NBA. Now, listen, there are assistant coaches in the NBA who become college candidates, largely because they're not sure if the NBA head coaching is in their future or they could go back to it. Maybe they've been a head coach, and, you know, a couple of the guys interviewing for the University of Utah job are NBA assistants. But anybody who's in the NBA will only go back to college if they're forced to, if they're not welcome in the NBA anymore. And Brad Stevens, no matter how much money Indiana offers them, listen, if Brad Stevens somehow left the Celtics, if someday he gets fired in Boston, I think he's going to be there a long time. He's not getting fired. He'll be a head coach somewhere else. Billy Donovan left Oklahoma City. It never dawned on Billy Donovan. Like, Billy Donovan could have any college job he wanted. Somebody would fire their coach to hire Billy Donovan in college. Never dawned. He's an NBA coach now. He goes to Chicago. He would have had plenty of other offers. Mm. Brad Stevens will be an NBA head coach as long as he wants to be. It's just not something anybody would choose to do. And, you know, Brad Stevens at Indiana, I know in Indiana they wanted to believe he'd come back. It's just not an appealing, compared to the NBA, it's just not an appealing lifestyle. It's not an appeal. It's not an appealing, the recruiting, the portal, all the things that have changed in college basketball, constantly having to retool that roster every year. People would prefer to be in the NBA.
I'm trying to, you know, make out what Steve Kerr is bringing up. He was on a podcast and he talked about, and I'm paraphrasing here and that's dangerous, but he was talking about, you know, the enjoyment of a team that won 15 games and coaching them as opposed to that last year when Durant was there. Durant then commented saying it's hilarious that he would think that. But like, how much acrimony or drama was there that we really didn't know about with the Warriors that Kerr would say, you know, I get to go back to just teaching, coaching, or, you know, these players in the NBA, even though we're losing?
Yeah, Dan, I didn't go back and listen to that podcast, so I don't know the context of what he was saying. So without knowing exactly the context of, there was a broader point. I saw what Steve said in his news conference last night, that it was taken completely out of context. It was a difficult year. I think it was a difficult year for Kevin Durant, for Steve Kerr. I think there was a lot of tension around that team. But whether it was more enjoyable to coach a 15-win team, I don't know if that's what Steve said. Again, I didn't listen to the whole thing. But I do think it was pretty well documented that, you know, that was not the strongest relationship within the organization. But, I mean, that's kind of true of a lot of teams and a lot of players and coaches. And at the end of the day, you're judged on the results. They had incredible results with Durant and Steve Kerr together. And
but
you know,
why
that,
did it go bad, though, Woj? Like, you I don't know. It felt like Draymond Green was onto something early where he knew that Kevin Durant was going to be leaving and wasn't, you know, one of the guys. But, I mean, you had something there. I don't know how sustainable it was going to be, but when did it go wrong in Golden State?
I think that just Kevin went there at a time in his career where the Warriors allowed him to win a championship, to win finals MVP. He built sort of his off-court business in Northern California, and then he was ready for something else. He wanted to have a team that was his. He wanted to come east, and Brooklyn was attractive to him, and he wanted to play with Kyrie Irving, and he got the chance to do that. I just think it's a different time in the league where all of us would look and say, well, why wouldn't you just want to stay together? Why wouldn't you want to just keep winning with that group? But that's not the league anymore, and you have to maximize these window of times when you have these teams together, because not just in Golden State, but whether it was in Miami or anywhere else, if it's the Brooklyn Nets now, how long does that group want to continue to play together if they win a title or two titles? That's just the reality of the league. I think the Warriors generally maximize that window. They might have won a title in the last year, if not for the injuries, but Toronto beat them. So I just think it's not just a Golden State question. I think it's a large, broader question for the whole league, and it's a league of constant movement, and there's not always great staying power in any situation, and that's the league now.
I know things are going to get busy for you, Woj. We appreciate you joining us as always, and thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
That's Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN senior NBA insider, host of the Woj podcast. You can catch Woj on ESPN and ABC's NBA Countdown.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.